Back to Monday again. Good to see you guys. Excited about the weekend, about the season starting, and being 1-0. Looking forward to the next game. After watching the film and kind of evaluating our performance, saw that there's a lot of things that we can improve on. I think I said that in the post game, but really feel that, you know, confirming that we can play better and play cleaner. But really proud of the way the guys played overall. And it's one of those difficult times where you look at the teams that played FCS opponents. Southern Illinois is a team that went to the playoffs, won their first game, went to the second round, and played against, lost an overtime close game to Idaho, who you guys saw what they did against Oregon, you know. So these games, thought we had the right approach to take it serious. And like I said, I have a lot of appreciation for what they do at their level and how dangerous they could be, beating the last two FBS opponents in Northwestern and Northern Illinois. So glad the guys were excited about the game, but also took it as a challenge. But a lot of room to improve still. Excited about the next step now and going on the road and playing against SMU. Looking at the first game against Southern Illinois, obviously we need to get some things better. And if I'm going to say on defense, what we can do is got to control the quarterback run game. We're going to see a lot of that, especially this week. And then offensively, finish drives. Find ways to capitalize on some opportunities. Special teams, I felt like we had some really good returns that were set up, and we just need to catch the ball to get that going. But stuffed a fake punt, which was really good. And after missing the first field goal, I liked the fact that Will was able to come back and still have his mind right to make the next two. So obviously there's room for improvement. We know how to fix them. Looking forward to getting started on that with today's practice. And now going against SMU, the head coach is a good friend of mine, Rhett Lashley. He's an amazing coach. He knows how to run an offense, call a game, and run a program. And so I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. And so he's done a great job with that program. And it's going to be tough for us to go in there and play against them. But we have to get some things fixed in order for us to be at our best. I know they have a really explosive team and are favored in this game. So this is an opportunity for our guys to get in there and figure out ways to get better and improve and then take on a very impressive SMU team. So looking forward to the matchup. I have a lot of respect for their program and their coach and their staff, and they have really good athletes. I mean, I mentioned their quarterbacks, they have a few quarterbacks that can play, you know, and then we've seen them on film, and they're very active, very athletic, and they can throw the ball too. So it's going to be difficult, but we're looking forward to the challenge. So what questions do you guys have for me?
Thanks, Coach. We'll take questions from Jared Lloyd and then Kevin Reynolds.
Well, I want to start out asking for a health update for the team. Obviously, first of all, with Jay Hills, how's he doing? And then across the board with the team, how are you guys health-wise?
Yeah, Jay's doing great. We're off and working and getting ready for SMU. The guys, no season-ending injuries, so that was good. We have some guys that are banged up. It was a game. It was physical. So we'll see about but right now, everybody looks like they're on target to play this game this weekend. I think adding Darius back on is going to be good for us on offense, but we have a number of guys that we can count on to help us make plays. I'm looking forward to seeing them improve and some guys get healthier during the week, but right now we're anticipating everybody making the trip.
I also wanted to ask just philosophically how you approach the chess match. The goal every week is to win that game. But at the same point, you don't want to show everything in the playbook, you know, to the next opponent. So how do you kind of balance those two things?
Well, I think that's what you do in camp, is you want to put everything, you install your entire offense and defense for the most part. You definitely get the foundation laid. And then after that, you kind of pick and choose what you want to do against that opponent. And then you can go back and change a few things. But we have film on everything that we want to do this year. We'll add a couple things, but you have to be careful about that, especially on a short week like this one. We're playing the game on Friday, so You can't really treat it. We get one less day for us to prep for the game, but it's not one of these save it for the next. It's everyone has their own plan for every game and every week and the matchups. And so, we felt great about our plan going into this game against in week one, and now we have to adjust and see what we're going to do against SMU. But you can't just throw things away and just start all brand new. So it's not a clean slate. It's just let's have our identity that we like, and then some things that we can change up and that we think can be maybe helpful in our matchup. But it's when you look at it personnel wise, they got all the talent. We just got to make sure that we can match it.
Hey, Kalani, you mentioned a little earlier, I was just wondering, are you expecting to see both quarterbacks this week from BYU, and are you preparing for that possibility with both Preston Stone and Kevin Jennings?
Yeah, I think you have to be prepared for all of it. So, I mean, that's just kind of how the game of football works. And so I think they have to prepare for it, and we have to prepare for it. And from what I saw this last week, they have a bunch of quarterbacks that can play, and they can run and can run that offense effectively.
And just to follow up, when's your relationship with Rhett Lashley start? Did it go back to that 2022 bowl game, or was it before that when you guys first?
Yeah, that's actually the first time that we were able to get sit down and in that bowl game we were able to hang out and share a meal together. And then I was really impressed with him, got to be around him and his family. There's these coaching events that you do and Pebble Beach and things like that. And he's a great golfer. I'm not. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I can learn from him, especially in the golf world. But he's got a brilliant mind when it comes to football. This guy knows how the game works. He's got a great relationship with Gus Malzahn. And so, like, you see where his coaching tree comes from and what he's done as a player and what he's done as a coach and a play caller. So, I'm a football junkie, so I like guys that are really good coaches, and I study them. But more than anything, is I admire what he does, and then I meet him in person, and I see, like, man, this is a really good dude, and I like being friends with him. So I just, we just have to compete against each other this week. But man, he is a great human being, great family, and I think he's doing a great job leading that SMU team.
Next, we'll have questions from Sean Walker and then Jay Catch.
Yeah, Coach, following up on the quarterback talk a little bit, and you touched on this some after the game some, but what's Gary's role kind of with this team now that it's codified and solidified and out there with Jake as QB1 and Gary backing him up? Do you hope to play maybe a little bit more than he did against Southern Illinois, or what's kind of your sort of take on where he's at?
Yeah, we know what we're doing. I'm not going to tell you guys our game plan. You guys are going to just get, SMU has the ability to watch this too. So, you guys are trying to give it away, man. We know what we got. We know the talent that we have on our team, and there's always a threat of him being on the field.
Well, and you talked about wanting to be able to defend the QB run game in particular a little bit better. Does that go more to coaching you guys up on how to do it, spying the quarterback? What are you going to do to defend that?
Well, I think that's just kind of a difficulty in football. If you watched over the weekend, a lot of people had a hard time doing that. So I think more specifically is looking at game one, we had difficult time when they got most of their chunk yard, like quarterback run game. I think that's where they got all most of their run yard. So one was a QB actual run. He turned into a touchdown. He broke some tackles, and so that one was more technique and fundamentals. And then the other one was when he was able to scramble and create with his feet and broke the pocket. So I think. And you see that he's been able to, I mean, they could have done a little bit more, but I think we had to make that shift of just being aware of the quarterback. And I think when you're going into a time where quarterbacks don't get touched, and week one's always going to be a difficult one where guys are still trying to get used to rushing the pocket. As everywhere they're telling the guys to stay off the quarterback and don't touch the quarterback in the pocket. And so it's hard to simulate that pocket presence. And even if you go hit the scout quarterbacks and try to do that, you're not going against the same type of O-line and same type of scheme. So it's really difficult to simulate it. But It's why we've tried to have quarterbacks be live in the past, and maybe we need to liven up the quarterback this week against the scouts so we can get used to it. But I think that's just the adjustment. I think there's a lot of variables that go into it, but we're addressing them right now because we're going to see it this week, and so we need to have an answer for it.
On a related note, how did you feel about your defensive line's performance overall? 2 sacks, 7 tackles for loss.
Yeah, I thought they got some knockback up front against a really veteran O-line group that they're returning most of their starters. You know, I think all four out of the five starters were returning, and the fifth guy they brought in that has experience. So our guys, we challenged them to be physical and execute their assignment. They did it, and really proud of our coaches getting them in place. But it's one game. We got to, you know, can you be consistent and do it week to week, and can you do it play to play? The thing that we've asked them to be is physical, so that's going to be good for us. The there's still mistakes that we've made, and that's for the entire front. But as long as we have the concentration, the guys are the desire to want to be physical and make plays, I think we got a real good start with week one. But there's a lot of misplays too. We had some missed opportunities for sacks and interceptions, things like that. So we've got to capitalize on all that.
We'll go Mitch Harper and then Jay Drew.
Blami, how has Chase Roberts evolved as a receiver this year compared to his early years in the program?
Well, he's just maturing in the offense. I think he understands it a little bit more. Every year that you get to be in this offense, I think when he first started playing, you're like got one position. Now, I know on the roster he's listed as a certain position, but he can play all of them, including the tight end spot. So that's huge weapon for us when we can have guys that can be flexible and versatile and use them different ways. It's kind of what we did with Puka. We could do that with all our receivers. I think you could see Fessy as he's working through all his receivers. It's really cool to see all those guys working and filling in for Darius that was missing in that game, and now we get him back. So Fessy's got his whole group that he can work with, and Chase happens to be one of the most veteran guys now. There was a time when he was a freshman and still learning from the veterans too, and as part of the development in the process of becoming a great receiver, and I think he's headed that way.
And I wanted to ask a different question. You know, this matchup being a power four on power four matchup, last time you guys played, it was Independence versus AAC. I'm curious, would you like to see eventually the power teams just play 12 power conference games and maybe not worry about the FCS and group of five games, just do P4 on P4 going forward in the future, because you're already at 10 games already in a season?
I think that's a question for Big 12 and Big 12 leadership and BYU administration. Whatever they line up, that's what we go play. So I like playing the best too, so I don't mind it. And but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I don't mind playing against teams that have. I mean, if you look at it, if it was a problem, then there'd be no one in the FCS beating FBS teams or G5s beating P5s, P4s, and so you're seeing that happen. It's hard to predict these games, and that's why I don't mind playing them all. So it doesn't matter to me. Whatever shows up, whatever they decide, that's what we'll do.
Kalani, my question's similar to Jake's on the defensive line, but mine is on the linebackers. How did Glasker, Taggart, Jack Kelly, I think those were the three starters, how did they kind of grade out? How? What did you think of their performance?
Yeah, they graded out really good. I mean, the defense, there's still some plays to be made, but overall they did some really good things. They feel really comfortable in the system, in the scheme. And it's just a lot different having those guys there that know what they're doing now, and it's night and day difference when you get to spend more time in this system. So I think there's more to be done with those guys. I like that we rotated and used fresh bodies, you know, and you had Che coming in and playing, you had Ice Moore playing, Sione Moore playing. So there's a lot of guys that we can still bring in. Siale Serra was playing that position too. So we feel like that's a deep position group for us, and a lot of guys that have playmaking ability. So I feel really good about the entire front seven. There's just a few things to clean up and a few things that we can definitely improve on.
Thanks, Kalani.
But the effort, the energy, and the talent's there.
So you guys have played a Thursday, Friday night game before. It's not optimal, especially when you're traveling, but is that really an advantage, or are you guys even concerned with kind of the fact you have to play a day earlier than normal?
No, we knew the schedule ahead of time. We've applied all the science to it, and we've adjusted our schedules. We're going to be fine. I felt like the guys looked good on game night on Saturday, and so we're adjusting our schedule, and you know, these guys had the Sabbath to go worship and spend time with their families, and now we're back to work, and we'll be ready to roll by the time we get to Friday.
We'll take a couple more questions from Jared Lloyd and then Jay Catch.
Lonnie, you talked about how there are things you want to work on, obviously, to clean up from game one. I'm curious about some of the little details that maybe we don't talk a lot about. Just wonder what your evaluation and improvement that needs to happen as far as getting the play calls out, clock management, you know, play calling trend, you know, not getting too predictable, things like that. How do you kind of evaluate that and look at that after game one going into game two?
I think everybody looks at their tendencies and self-scout. We do that as well. So we have good people that work for us here, and we give them all these assignments, and that helps us out so we know what our tendencies are. But, I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, tendencies are made to be broken sometimes too. So it's the entire understanding what you're about, but also understanding your identity and not stepping away from it. And I know there's a goal in what we wanted to accomplish on the offensive side, and I mentioned that to you guys before going into the game, that we have an idea of what we're going to do and how we're going to execute it. And then the same thing happened with defense and special teams, and now we're going to adjust, and now we're going to apply it to our next opponent. We feel really good about our ability to do that as coaches and as a staff, and so, and we combine that with our players and leadership. I think we'll be in a really good spot. So I'm looking forward to the next phase and the next step, and I feel good about our preparation. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm not really worried about the game being a day earlier or that it's on the road. We've planned for all of this.
What was your assessment of the helmet communication in game one?
I mean, that's the game goes a little, it's still a little different than the NFL, where you still need a signal a little bit because you don't have one helmet that has it, and there's not a lot of huddling going on in college football, and so it's good, but I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if they're going to adjust it and make have you allow more on the field, which will definitely do away with the signal stealing and stuff like that, but. The game right now, you let us have one helmet, that'll be great. I think the thing that's been really cool is the tablets on the sideline. It's been nice for our players to see, and before you'd have to get the communication from upstairs of what actually happened and what they saw from their point of view, seeing all 22 players, and now they can actually see it from the film, and that's awesome that we're able to use that technology and that both teams can do that.
Lonnie, SMU seems to use a lot of RPO action in their offense. Did you get any tune-up with that, with what Southern Illinois ran, or is it kind of a new look this week?
Well, I think there's some similarities in different ways. I mean, the difference would be that there's definitely better talent. But I don't know if it was the execution, it was an issue. As I would like to say, I wish I could just say that the defense caused problems for Southern Illinois, but you have to plan on teams being better and getting their best every week. And so that's – I'm not sure if Southern Illinois gave us their best in terms of offense and their execution, but we just have to imagine that everyone's going to be better than what we see week to week. And so, I imagine that Southern Illinois is going to try to be better next week, and SMU is going to try to be better this week. They do have two games, two R1 to go off of, but – we also have two games that we can watch and see what they do. But even though I don't think the second game with them, I think they dominated the game from the beginning. So I don't know if there's much to show there other than we can see the personnel and the people that they have. And what we see is a lot of talent. So they've done a great job developing their talent and recruiting there. So it's going to be a tough task, and we're looking forward to the matchup, though.
How important is it for you guys to play in Texas annually just with regards to recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, with the conference, we get to do that. And now with this non-conference game, I don't mind it. So this is it's something new for our guys, and we have fans in that area. So we're hoping to see a lot of our Royal Blue fans out there, and I'm looking forward to the game. But regardless, the game's handled on the field. The players will be the ones competing. We just need to make sure that we get them set up to be at their best and make sure that we get it all lined up for the guys as coaches.
But Jerem Jordan.
Jerem, BYU-TV. Kalani, you mentioned that Jay is kind of up and running in the prep. Does that mean he'll call the defense this week?
Yeah, this is his defense. I mean, we all work together. So, I mean, that this is the setup was so that the anyone could have called the game, you know, and that's a huge compliment to our staff on defense and the way they set it up. But I thought the prep was nice, and you know, it was a good clean call sheet, and so that's the way Jay does it, and he does a great job leading the group. So I anticipate him returning to his role as D coordinator and doing his part. And but I don't know if he'll be on the field or if he'll be in the box. I heard the coaches start liking that posh life in the box a little bit too much, and maybe he's liking it up there. I don't know, but I think it was a different perspective for him, and it was nice to just like I said after the game, it was nice just to hear his voice on the headphones, and that we can kind of talk back and forth. It was a good setup. The defense performed well, and I'm looking forward to getting Jay back with us full time.
And then a follow up. You always played SMU four times. There's obviously some notable games there. The New Mexico Bowl, of course, you were involved in. But I wanted to ask you as a kid, what's your memory of the Miracle Bowl, since that's one of the great games in BYU history?
Well, I think for me, I was 5 years old. So I know I look older, you guys, but come on. Jerem, seriously, man. What's my 5 years old? I didn't remember much, but I remember 8 years old watching the highlights and stuff like that, you know. And I mean, I was that kind of kid, though, that would watch replays of games all the time. So it was cool to watch, you know, watch SMU teams. Then you hear all these names of the guys that like Eric Dickerson and then you see, like, Kyle Whittingham running around out there and Jim McMahon. And so, yeah, I was always watching it. But, yeah, in real time, I don't know, didn't know much. But, like, afterwards, yeah, that's something that – There's some really cool parts of that game. People want to go back. I can't believe nobody would go back and rewatch the game. I don't know. It's not in HD, but like it's really cool stuff. I was doing that one since I was a kid, just watching replays of games and just kind of evaluating it. But there's a really cool things like Jim McMahon not wanting to punt, you know, and just not he just kept the offense out there and then so when I was growing up as a kid to hear those stories and then. I get to ask Lavelle about him, and Lavelle would always, a great storyteller, would add his sense of humor into it, and it was just a really cool thing, man. So just the history behind it, and now knowing, being in this position and knowing Rhett and being friends with him, I think it's just really cool dynamic, you know. I'm looking forward to the game, looking forward to seeing their fans. Just have a lot of respect for that program and excited that they're in a new conference too, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for your time, Coach. We'll let you
all right.
Back to your stuff.
48 years old, guys. You know, so there we go. 30 years ago, I was a true freshman here at BYU.